380 has been announced as our song of invitation and encouragement. When we stand to sing that song at the conclusion of my lesson this morning, we'll be encouraging anyone to respond to the Lord before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Today we will be beginning a series of sermons for the morning worship hour that will last for several weeks. I want to encourage you to be present and to invite as many as you can to come and to be present in our services, that we might be encouraged from the Word of God. The series of sermons will be entitled, of course there'll be a lot of subtitles, but the main thing that we'll be talking about is things most surely believed among us, taken from the scripture that was read this morning by Brother Abrams. And I'll share and read it again with you in Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration, a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke, the beloved physician, was led to write the gospel account of the life and the works of Christ in order, as he says, that most excellent Theophilus might know the certainty of those things which he had been instructed. It is implied that Theophilus, by the way Luke addressed him, perhaps was one of high rank. You notice how he addresses him, most excellent Theophilus. It is known that he was a Gentile. It is also known and implied by the scriptures that he had been instructed of some things. It is also believed that he was a new Christian, a new follower, I should say, of Christ. It is also said in the scripture that he had been instructed these things, or he had received these things in bits and pieces without an orderly account of them. Luke says again that he had taken in hand to set in order a declaration of those things. So Luke's task then was to assure him that what he had received was indeed factual and worthy of believing. And so today, as followers of Christ, we have the assurance from the Word of God that the faith of the gospel is factual and worthy of believing. Sometimes people ask us a question, why do you believe the way you believe? Why do you do certain things? Why is it that you don't do other things? Well, again, these series of lessons are designed to teach us about those things that we do and that we believe, that you might again be able to go to God's record, God's book, and know that they are true. So it shall be my objective then to set forth many things exclusive to the faith that are believed or should be believed among us. Sad to say that some of the things that sometimes Christians seem like they don't believe, if it can be proven by the scripture, we ought to accept it and live by it. If it cannot be proven, then it ought to be and must be rejected. We must remember that the scriptures are God's instructions for us in order that we might be pleasing to him, so that one day we can come home and live with him. All of us are going to be judged by the scriptures. Jesus said it in John 12 in verse 48. So we dare not then stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not having lived according to the scriptures. Let us then examine our topic today from a general perspective. And in following weeks, God's will, we'll be more specific in some things that are most surely believed among us. Looking again back at the title that we're talking about today, Things Most Surely Believed Among Us, what does this statement imply? Well, number one, it implies that something was believed. Luke says, I'm writing to you about the things that are most surely believed among us. Something was believed. Sometimes someone would make a statement like this, or may make a statement like this. It makes no difference what one believes. Well, if it makes no difference what one believes, then it really doesn't make a difference whether one believes at all. I want to tell us this morning that it does make a difference what one believes. And when one believes something, one needs to know that what he or she believes is the right thing to believe. Luke says that I'm writing these things to you that you might know the certainty of the things which you have been instructed. So many people are instructed, but are they really sure that these things are certain? Are they the correct things that they should have been instructed? Or do they take what they have been instructed, what they have heard, and as we say, swallow it down, hook, line, and sinker? And say, well, that's what the teacher said. That's what the preacher said. That's what somebody else said. Do you know that they are right? Do you know that they are certain? Luke says, you've been instructed of some things, but I want you to know that what you have been instructed, that these things are certain, that they are true, that they are the things that are worth believing in and that you need to believe in. In New Testament times, there was a common belief. He said these things were believed among us. In other words, the early Christians, they believed the same thing. Until, of course, some of them even start going in the wrong direction. How unlike it is today that so many people believe so many different things. God was not pleased with it in the first century, and he's not pleased with it now. If he didn't accept it then, he will not accept it now. So we need to know then, again, whether what we believe is the right thing to believe. God's word has been given to us that we can know what to believe. In the Lord's church, they even began to divide themselves up into parties, so to speak. And Paul was given the task by the Holy Spirit to call them from that kind of foolishness in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 10. There were some there who had divided themselves up into factions who were evidently starting to believe the wrong thing, that it was all right for them to get in the camp of Peter, to get in the camp of Paul, to get in the camp of Apollos. Look at what the scripture says. The scripture says, "Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Now, I tell us this morning, it's impossible for people to speak the same thing unless they believe the same thing. The reason why they were not speaking the same thing, because they had stopped believing the same thing. You notice what it says in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42, right not long after the church had its beginning. The Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." To continue steadfast in something means don't go to the left, don't go to the right, but just follow it just the way it's been taught. But then several years later, we find in the Corinthian church that they were doing some different things. They were not being steadfast. So now they have this division going on. So he says, "I beseech you that you all speak the same thing, and that there be what? No divisions among you." If everybody believed the same thing religiously today, there would not be any divisions in the religious world. But the reason why we have all this division in the religious world, because everybody don't believe the same thing. That's why I say again, it makes a difference what you believe. You need to believe the same thing. He goes on and says that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then he goes on and talks about the contention of the division that was among them. Why was that so? Because they didn't all believe the same thing. It's important that you and I believe the same thing, and that same thing needs to be what the scripture teach. I need to qualify that by saying, again, just don't believe the same thing, but believe the same thing that the scripture teach. Because we all could believe that 2 + 2 = 5, but that's wrong. 2 + 2 = 4. We need to believe that. So when it comes to scripture, we need to all believe the same thing what the scripture says. There's no such thing, "Well, I see it this way, I see it that way." There's only one way to see it, and that's the right way. Now, we all could see it the wrong way, but there's only one right way to see it. And so we've got to keep studying God's word, keep searching God's word, till we come to the one right way to see it. Because after all, there's only one faith. So these Corinthians then have stopped believing the same thing, and that's for the division came between them. The early Christians, again, they had the same mind. They had the same judgment. That is, these early Christians. In Acts 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul." You'll never have one be of one heart and one soul unless we all believe the same thing. I'm talking again about things that are most surely believed among us. Again, there is just one faith, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. And Jude contends, asks us, begs of us to contend for that one faith. In Jude verse 3, Jude said this. Jude says, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Or when I gave all diligence, rather, to write of you of the common salvation, he says, "It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should honestly contend for the faith." You see that definite article, "the"? That means one faith. One right thing to believe. One right system of belief. One right system of practice. The reason why everybody don't partake of the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week in the religious world is because everybody don't believe in that one system of practice. But the Bible teaches that we are to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. That's every Sunday. There's no such thing as, quote, Communion Sunday. I got to go to church today because today is Communion Sunday. Every Lord's Day is Communion Sunday. But again, many people don't believe that. So they don't believe the right thing. So Jude says then, "It was needful for me to write and exhort you that you should honestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That one system of belief, that one system of practice, that one faith was once delivered to the saints, and we will not get another system of beliefs and another system of practices. That one system got to last us until we get to heaven. Things most surely believed among us. This belief then that was common among those in Luke's day was shared so as to instruct people what to believe. Look back at what Luke said again in Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Theophilus had been instructed of some things to believe. So that belief then was shared so as to instruct folks what to believe. When we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel with people, we are sharing this gospel with them so they'll know what to believe. When we tell folks that there is only one church that Jesus knows anything about, we are telling them that so they will know to believe in the one church. I've heard some people who were members of the church, not a lot, thankfully, to say, "Well, I used to believe that, but now I don't believe it anymore." Well, if you don't believe it anymore, you've stopped believing the right thing, and now you're believing the wrong thing. The Lord still only has one church. And if he doesn't, then God got to go back and correct his Bible, because the Bible still reads there is one body. The Bible still reads that the body is the church. Colossians 1, verse 18. Ephesians 4, 4 says there is one body. So if the body then is the church, and if there is one body, how many churches can you get out of that if that's what it means? You can only get one. The Bible still
reads that like that. But sometimes folks will say, well, again, I used to believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. But what has happened? You've allowed, as Dennis talked about, conversation with the devil this morning in Bible school. You've allowed the devil to win his conversation with you, to convince you to believe that there are more than one church now. Don't ever stop believing, brothers and sisters, that there is but just one church. That's what Jesus died for. That's what he's coming back for. One church. And he's going to deliver that church back to God. And if we want to be delivered to God, then we got to be faithful members in the one church. Don't leave the church. If you leave the church, you left salvation. Stay with the church. Don't let anybody take you away from the church. So this belief then was shared so as to instruct what to believe. Christianity, and you heard me say this, I'm sure, many a times, Northwest, that Christianity is based on a taught religion. It's not a felt religion. Oh, yes, we feel good because we believe the right thing, but it's not based on feelings alone. It is a taught religion. The Bible says this in John chapter 6. And verse number 44 and 45, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me does what? Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then in the next verse he says, as it is written in the prophets. What was written in the prophets? It was written, and they shall be all taught of God. That was written in the prophets. You can read that in Isaiah 54 and verse 13. So John says, now, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father, when do you hear and when do you learn of the Father? When you're taught. When you receive the teaching. And you can receive it either from somebody else or by studying God's word yourself. That's the same way, same thing as receiving or being taught of God. So every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. We can't come to God. We can't please God unless we are first taught of God, taught of his word to know what to do to please him. We don't just feel our way to God. We have to be taught our way to God. So then he said, everyone that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Teaching is required. Jesus made teaching a requirement in Matthew 28 and verse 19 when he said to his apostles that he was giving them their marching orders, if you will. He says, do what? Go therefore and what? Teach all nations. The very first thing that we must do is teach folks what God requires of them. So oftentimes people just want to be baptized. Oh, I want to be baptized. No, let me teach you. They need to be taught. He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he continues to say, teaching them to observe all things. So Christianity then is a taught religion. It is required. Indoctrination is needed. That's why Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, he says, commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So you see, this teaching, this indoctrination process goes on and on. You teach somebody, when they learn the truth, then they go on and teach somebody else. Commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, if one is not taught what to believe, that is the true thing to believe, then one will not obey the right thing. And if one does not believe the right thing, certainly he will not obey the right thing. So make sure then that you believe the right thing. You believe wrong, you'll obey wrong. It does make a difference what you believe, brothers and sisters. If you don't believe, it makes a difference what you believe. If you could call up a man from the dead, and if he could talk to you, he would tell you that it makes a difference what you believe. There is a prophet the Bible talks about in 1 Kings chapter 13, who God sent down to cry out against an altar and a false altar there. God sent this prophet down there, and he told him to go down and cry out against this altar. But he says, now when you go down there, don't eat, don't drink, don't come back the same way you went. But you know what happened? He allowed another man who said he was a prophet to deceive him and cause him not to keep on believing what God had told him. And so the Bible says in verse number 11 of 1 Kings chapter 13, it says this: now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words, the Bible says, which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also their father. Notice what the father says. The father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. Then the Bible says, and he said, that is the father said unto his sons, sell me the ass, so they sell him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting on an oak, and he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Now remember what I said, God had said to the man? You have to read the first part of chapter 13 to get that. And he said, I may not return. Now he's reciting to the man what God told him. I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. That's exactly what God had said to him. But then the Bible says in the next passage, the prophet says, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go the way that thou camest. Verse 18 says this. He said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into the house, to thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But what? He lied unto him. Now, when you continue to read, you see that he went back and he ate with the man. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon this old prophet and told this man, your carcass will not get back to the land or the home of your fathers. And as he went along his way, the Bible says, a lion met him and tore him asunder, devoured him in the way. What's my point? My point is that at first he was believing the right thing, but now he is deceived by this old prophet. Now he believes something else. He believes now it's all right for me to go back. But don't you know, if God had told him not to go in, and then if God decided that he should go in, don't you think that God would have told him, go in? That's why, again, sometimes people say, the Lord said this to me and the Lord said that to me. Or the Lord told me to tell you that. Well, if the Lord told you to tell me that, why did he tell me? He didn't have to go through you. That's why he has given us the Bible. He tells everybody the same thing. So this young prophet was deceived by the old prophet, and therefore you and I then know, have to conclude that it makes a difference what you believe. Don't let anybody stop you from believing in the Word of God. When you read it for yourself and you see what the Word of God says, then stick with that and don't let anybody change your mind. No wonder Luke says the things that are most surely believed among us. Luke was saying these things are certain, these things are exact, these things I can take to the bank. I'm not going to let anybody change my mind on it. The Word of God, brothers and sisters, is worthy of our believing. Why? Because the Bible says that we have a sure word of prophecy. Peter, in his day, when he wrote to those in his day, he said this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, he says, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, a day dawn rather, and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, he says, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, he says, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is Peter saying? Peter is saying that what I'm writing to you, it's sure. It is certain. You need to believe it. Again, don't let anybody fool you with these cunningly and these devised fables. And there are a lot of fables out there today. Don't be deceived by them. Stick with the Word of God because it's perfect. It doesn't need any alteration. It doesn't need to be shortened. It doesn't need to be lengthened. Sometimes I buy a soup, Brian, and I may have to alter it. God's word don't need that. It's perfect the way it is. Psalm 19 and verse number 7, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Not only is it perfect, but all of his word is true. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 160 in the New King James Version. It says the entirety, that means all of it, the entirety of your word is true. Every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. So you will not find not one error in God's word. The entirety of his word is true. Some other versions would say the sum of his word is true. Not only is it true, but it's also pure. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them that put their trust in him." God's word is sure. God's word is pure. God's word is perfect. So believing and obeying then the right thing will keep us from being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein they lie in wait to deceive. A lot of folks are deceiving folks. They're deceiving folks. Don't be deceived. Again, just to name a few things, when folks tell you again, as I repeat myself a little bit here, when folks tell you again that there is more than one church, that's a deceptive message. And it comes from Satan. Satan wants you to believe that there is more than one church. When folks tell you that you can be saved without being baptized, that's a deceptive message. The Word of God says that baptism is necessary for our salvation. Peter even said it in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. He says, when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto baptism does even now save us. Baptism is in God's plan. God's plan cannot be altered if we're going to be approved unto God. So then don't let anybody then deceive you into thinking that God's word is not true. As I said already, with all of these different winds of doctrine out there, all can't be right. So we need to closely examine them. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. If it can't be proven again by the scripture, throw it away. You don't need it. Close examination is necessary. John said in this day in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Oh, and they're still out there deceiving people. Don't be deceived, but believe in the Word of God. So keep on believing that God's Word teaches us that if we are going to be saved, that there is only one plan of salvation that God has to save people. God has said in His Word that we must hear and believe the gospel. Acts 15 and verse number 7. He says that we must repent of our past sins, Luke 13 and 3. He says that we must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. He says we must be baptized again in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, when we do that, the Lord will add you to the church. That's God's plan of salvation. But again, man comes around and he teaches different plans of salvation. He says again, oh, just believe in your heart, just accept Jesus in your heart and you will be saved. Or just pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. That's not according to the Word of God. Stop believing that kind of stuff. Don't let folks deceive you into believing that kind of stuff. What we need to do, as I close this morning, we need to trust in the Word of God and allow it to direct our steps. Our sister even referred to a scripture that helps us so much in the Bible class this morning, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. When it says over there that one needs to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct thy path. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the word of the Lord and let the word of the Lord guide our lives. God's word is right and cannot be wrong. Otherwise, we make God a lie, and that's impossible. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 3 through 4, Paul said that the scripture evidently anticipated the fact that folks would not believe in this true gospel, in this one faith, this system of faith, in what God has for man to do. So Paul says, oh, that what if some do not believe? Will that or shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? It doesn't matter whether you believe it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it. It's not going to change the truth of God's word. Next verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't want to be found a liar in the judgment, because Revelation 21 and verse 8 says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So we better not stand before God not trusting in God's word because we think that we got a better way. There is no better way than the way of God. So again, Luke says, I'm writing that you might know the certainty of those things that you've been instructed. These are the things, he says, that are most surely believed among us. Believe God's word. Trust God's word. Obey God's word. Are you here then this morning? And you've been taught something different other than what God's word has said? And you've obeyed that thing, and maybe that you've obeyed it because you hadn't really checked out whether it's sure, whether it's true. Do what Luke was encouraging most excellent Theophilus to do. Luke is saying, in essence, I'm writing this to you. Now you read what I wrote so you'll know the certainty of those things that you have been instructed. So read what God has written. So many folks will not read what God has written. So again, they go on by what somebody else says rather than what they know what God has said. Are you here then this morning? Maybe have been deceived into thinking that God has another way. I want to encourage you again that God only has one way. Would you obey the gospel? God saves people by the gospel. Would you obey it this morning? I've already given you the plan of salvation. Would you come to the Lord this morning if you need to? If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God, would you turn away from that erring way through repentance? And if you need to confess, would you do it this morning? Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we want to encourage you to come. Come now while you have this opportunity, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Would you come right now while we stand and while we sing? Would you come? Would you come?